Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday happy hour. But Tom, I'm feeling a little angst as we turn towards the quitting hour. Another Wall Street bank being propped up, what, by other banks, not the federal government, but this little confab was organized by Janet Yellen, apparently, and it makes me quite nervous. We've had two bank failures, and now we've got, what, more signs that raised interest rates somehow are crushing banks? Why is that, Dom? Why are we so vulnerable in this moment in time? And, you know, I'm just a lay person, Dom. I never had to worry about exceeding FDIC limits.
The $250,000.
No, it wasn't really a problem
max.
For me. No. Wasn't really a problem for me. But, you know, as a corporation, there are times I'm sure we exceed those limits. Have to, just to have enough operating capital to pay all the bills.
Sure.
So, do you have to worry about that? Is that a new part of being in business? You got to worry that suddenly the bank could dissolve and you could lose all the money you've deposited there? And I mean,
well,
that would be
probably the wise thing. If you're engaged in commerce and you have more than $250,000 in one institution and you need access to that, perhaps you should split them up, get a different bank. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
I wish I had that problem.
But, right. It'd be a good problem to have, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what is the point of a federal guarantee of $250,000 if when the banks make bad bets, let's just call it what it is, and they end up getting a run on them and they can't cover, then the federal government comes in and guarantees everything anyway. So the risks that was taken, the decisions that were made, are essentially rewarded with the guarantees that are supposed to be only be up to the $250,000. Now, again, I get the bigger picture on the banking system in general. Sure, we can have a 30,000-foot conversation about that. But guaranteeing everything above and beyond $250,000 is out of whack.
That Silicon Valley Bank, that's only like 94% of all their deposits were in excess of $250,000
right.
Individual account limits. So when people say, I need all my money, or at least I need enough, you know, millions to make payroll, we're a big corporation, and everyone goes to the bank on the same day, and the bank can't meet supply, and then the regulators have to come rushing in, and the Fed has to come up with some sort of weekend 72 hours before the markets collapse sort of a plan. Are we back in 2007, Dom? That's what makes me nervous, dude. The simple increasing of the interest rates, which was their bright idea to stem inflation, is suddenly going to crush banks? Banks are dying because they make more interest on money? Or they're only solvent if they can go to the Fed window and borrow money at 0%? That's the only way to be profitable? I could be very profitable if you'd continue to loan me money at 0%. I'd go make investments all over the world.
Right. And then no matter what happens to those investments, if they go south or somehow I become illiquid or can't get rid of them, well, then you're going to guarantee it. So great, man. All that does is encourage greater risk taking. Of course, man, because there's no consequence to the loss. And it's so...
But that's crazy,
amazing
though. This
to
simple
me how quickly these venture capitalists become socialists, man. As soon as this goes down, what's the thing everyone says? I've seen, you know, the social media, you know, tweet side by sides from some of these billionaires or hedge fund managers or, you know, libertarian rich folks. Oh, you know, da 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 da. And all of a sudden, as soon as things go down, oh, we need action right away from the federal government to support the banking system. Well, you can't have it both ways. You want deregulated and laissez-faire, right? Whatever goes, then there should be consequences to that. When you make bad decisions or wrong decisions or ill-timed decisions and you lose money on it, you lose money. If I go to the casino, black and it hits red, I'm not getting a backup on that.
It just seems so incredible to me that the simple act of having to pay what interest to their depositors, you know, now suddenly there's an interest rate in the world. You got to pay money for money. For a while, it was damn near free. It was like going to the casino, borrowing money, and then getting to play the tables. That's what it had been, seemingly to me, Dom. But, you know, I'm just a layperson. I got to pay my bills every month. I don't get to run to the free Fed window if I come short. Mom and dad ain't funded my lifestyle, if you know
no,
what I mean.
Oh, dude.
I got a couple I'm funded, I'm telling you. But, you know, no one's funded mine at this point. So, do you think we should be worried, Tom? I mean, you're a little smarter about this stuff than me. I'm a mass comm guy. You got your MBA. And I'd also ask the audience. I mean, am I feeling unnecessary angst? Give me the Jim Cramer bye-bye-bye like he did for SVB.
That's what he did. Right,
like,
right.
Two, three weeks ago.
They took bonuses out, man, the day of. You know what I'm saying? So I hope there's some sort of clawback, man. So, no, I mean, honestly,
let me give them the number.
Yes.
844-967-2789. Should Crudy go withdraw every nickel I got and bury it in a can or stick it under the mattress? And then I got to go get me the official Wisco rifle to protect it at home. It's like you can't win. You can't stick your money in the bank anymore. If you can't, I mean, isn't the whole premise of a bank, if I keep it at home, then you can rob me? So, of course, I want the security of a bank. Banks got, you know, guards and insurance and FDIC. But if I stick my money in the bank could just go gamble it on Wall Street and also lose my money. And if the federal government runs out of FDIC money, because it's not a, you know, it's not a print paper sort of thing, Dom, there's a finite number of dollars there. Well, if they run out of those dollars, does that mean the next round of depositors don't get their money back? Because I think it would. If the feds don't put the money there, or if the Republicans say, well, this is socialism, because can't you hear it coming? 844.
No, I don't hear it coming from the Republicans. Absolutely not. These are the bankers. These are their people.
844-967-2789. We'll get to you callers in just a moment. But Dom, is the sky falling, Chicken Little?
No, come on. Here's a little bit of the background. CNN reporting. First Republic Bank, facing a crisis of confidence from investors and customers, is set to receive $30 billion lifeline from a group of America's largest bank. This show of support by a group of large bank is most welcome and demonstrates the resilience.
I bet it is most welcome.
Treasury Department said in a statement on Thursday, the major banks include JPMorgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and others. The $30 billion infusion will give the struggling San Francisco lender much-needed cash to meet customer withdrawals and buttress confidence in the U.S. banking system during a tumultuous moment for lenders. In a statement, the banks said their action, quote, reflects their confidence in First Republic and in banks of all sizes, adding that regional, mid-sized, and small banks are critical to the health and functioning of our financial system. Now, apparently, Kurt Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, she organized this meeting between J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon before 11 banks agreed to deposit $30 billion. The meeting served as a culmination.
That's great to know that effectively the Illuminati are getting together in public now and deciding world financial policy for the rest of us. Isn't that kind of what they're doing? Am I wrong?
Yellen has driven the effort from the government side, while Dimon led the effort to organize the bank executives that would eventually get behind the dramatic infusion of deposits. Yellen first conceived of the idea of the largest U.S. banks coming together to direct deposits toward First Republic, according to a separate source familiar with the matter. The move was seen as critical to stabilizing the bank's deposit base, but also a critical signal to financial markets about both the bank and the U.S. financial system. Last paragraph here, then we'll get to the callers. the Federal Reserve created a loan system designed to prevent regional banks from failing after SVB collapsed. The facility will allow banks to give the Fed their treasury bonds as collateral for one-year loans. In return, the Fed will give banks the values that the banks paid for the treasuries, which have plunged in the last year as the Fed has hiked interest rates. Rates go up, the value goes down.
The consumer gets screwed. It's us paying the bill, folks. Eventually, there's going to be a bill to pay. It's coming to us. I'm just saying, 844-967-2789. Jerry from Arizona, do you remember how they handled the SNL crisis once upon a time?
Hey, Jerry.
In 2008, I personally lost $30,000 on a short sale. My mother had just passed away, and Bush was going out, Bush Cheney. You know how they screwed us over. But I personally, it's a long story. You don't want to hear it. Anyway, I think this would be a great opportunity for the billionaire, millionaire, ultra-rich to try to make Biden look bad and maybe do a run on the banks, taking out all their money. So everybody beware. But don't you think it's a good opportunity for those jerks?
Yes. Yeah, hell, they can make some money on top of it, Jerry. You know, if you're a billionaire and you go in and make these transactions knowing that you're going to probably, you know, encourage others to do the same thing, I would be surprised if whoever is doing that are also shorting it as well.
Market manipulation.
Not everyone knows. I'm going to take mine out, and I'm going to make money on the down.
Not everyone gets what you're saying, but it all seems quite corrupt to me, Dom. But that's how it's played on Wall Street. And they are playing with other people's money.
That's the best way to play.
And if they lose, they call Janet Yellen, they call the federal government, and they say, we're too big to fail. Socialize us.
Well, at least socialize.
It's a write-off, Jerry.
Socialize the loss, privatize the profit.
Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're going to do a little pause for profit and then come back with some advocacy for socialism, maybe, Dom. Or at least phone calls, 844-967-2789. Something on your mind? Share it with us. And again, a little show note. Tuesday, immediately after the greatest radio show ever, you're listening right now, a Wisconsin Supreme Court primary, what are they calling it, Dom?
Debate.
Insurrectionist against esteemed judge, Janet Protasiewicz. And we will broadcast it immediately following the Devil's Advocates Tuesday. We have consent, so we're doing it. It's coming up at 6 o'clock. That's on Tuesday. More Devil's Advocates. Come back. Call us, 844-96-PARTY.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. Talking about this $30 billion being put into the First Republic Bank. A little bit more here from the Washington Post, and then we'll get to the calls. Again, 844-96-PARTY. I'm going to jump down into the body of the piece at the Post. While the money for the deposits is coming from private firms, U.S. officials were closely involved in coordinating between the large banks, aiming to stabilize the system without increasing the burden on the taxpayer, according to two people familiar with the matter who also spoke on the condition of anonymity to reflect private deliberations. Quote, they're trying to create a firewall to protect themselves. These are the big banks who put this money in. They're trying to create a firewall to protect themselves from further angst about the banking system and continued bank runs, said Mark Zandi, an economist with Moody's Analytics. It's about shoring up the weakest links in the banking system and in so doing, inoculating themselves from the fire getting to them. Financial experts said the intervention represented one of the most sweeping moves in the modern history of U.S. banking and coming just on the heel of last weekend's move by the government to backstop deposits at SVB. It reflected the extent of concern both among senior Fed officials and Wall Street executives about the stability of the industry. First Republic stock price swung all week, raising the prospect that a third major bank, U.S. bank, could go down in less than a week following the implosions of SVB and Signature. Federal officials hope the Wall Street intervention will put an end to the fears rippling through the system. But last weekend's move, including the decision to create a new central bank lending program and backstop all uninsured deposits at SVB and Signature, failed to stamp out the tremors entirely. Another quote here. This is as large of a bank-to-bank intervention that we have seen, where you have one institution stepping in to help another institution, said John Sadunov, a professor of finance at Villanova. We have not yet reached total failure meltdown stage, and this is an attempt to stop the bleeding before things get worse and you have more widespread panic. Couple more paragraphs. The move was announced Thursday shortly after Yellen faced numerous questions on Capitol Hill about the crisis measures already approved by the federal government in response to the banking crisis, where she told lawmakers that the financial system is sound. News of the rescue plan sent stocks up. All three major indexes closed over 1%.
Excellent news for rich people.
First Republic, whose shares had been down by more than a third earlier in the day, closed up almost 10%. Regional bank stocks were mostly stable Thursday, closing slightly up. The giant Swiss multinational bank Credit Suisse also recovered somewhat from its losses Wednesday after tapping an emergency fund from the Swiss central bank.
You cashing out today? 844-967-2789. Jim from Appleton, welcome. What do you got for us, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. I heard as far as SVB is concerned, they're only covering the depositors. They're not going to cover the risk takers, and they're going to try to claw back the loans from the big wigs that took out the billion-dollar loans right before the bank collapsed. As far as East Coast Bank, I haven't heard any news on how they're covering that.
Well, the fact that it was SVB... and then it was a different bank, and then it was Credit Suisse, and now we see these extraordinary measures happening, even if it's within colleagues and smoky rooms being led by Janet Yellen. These still feel a lot like extreme measures to me, Jim. This is not conversations they're having out transparently in a panel, with the American people as a town hall. We're not broadcasting this live. They tell us what's coming next.
Correct.
And, does it make you nervous? I'm a little nervous, Jim.
Oh, I'm nervous about it, but the Fed is loving it because as far as they're concerned, they're not going to be happy until unemployment reaches the level that everybody's happy to take those $5 an hour jobs again.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a year. I think a year today they started raising interest rates. I mean, there's certainly been a change in the interest rate environment. And the strange thing, Jim, and this is always oxymoronic to me, but the news today, the banking news, is actually driving mortgage interest rates lower for those that might want to buy homes.
Yeah, so, the Fed rate goes up, but the mortgage rate's going down. It's not supposed to work that way, but I won't complain about the mortgage rates going down.
Jim, I should have taken some econ classes in college. 844-967-2789. Luckily, Dom, we have the smartest people in our audience. We can just ask them questions and get their opinions. People like our pal, Dana, calling from God's country, La Crosse. How's it going, Dana?
God's country, Dana. Indeed. Hey, afternoon, Devils. Welcome back, Crudy.
Thanks, man.
I hope you didn't get too red down in that asshole state, but I hope you had a good time.
It was quite nice. I was in the southern part of Florida. Seems like a different world down there than the rest of Florida.
Sure, sure. So, hey, you know, I don't think you are too far off the mark. I think the Republicans will try to do something to FDIC and try some cuts. They're going to do everything they can to trash this economy.
Well, but wait, Dana. Many of the Republicans control the levers of the economy. When you trash the economy, you're trashing your own financial future. I think they want to blame any downfalls in the economy on the policies, you know, the damn socialist Joe Biden.
I think right now they don't care. I think they feel they're protected with their monies, but they don't care about the majority, even the wealthy donors. They're not really going to care at this time because this is their last shot at their fascism takeover. If we win, I think their movement is hopefully crushed. I mean, look at Powell. I mean, he was a Trump employee, a Trump pick, was he not? And I think that's what he's up to, too, with these interest rates. We all know the inflation is being caused by just gouging by corporations. And, you know, Powell, he can do what he can as well to affect the economy. And what's his penalty if he does crash it? It's nothing criminal. He'll just skate off and go, whoops. You know,
go head up Goldman Sachs and get a golden parachute.
Right. Oh, my bad. Sorry, folks.
It makes me feel powerless to think that, you know, these world economy things, they're happening behind closed doors. And we've got no control over it whatsoever. All you can control is whether or not you listen to the devil's advocates. At least you'll have a smile on your face as you go to the food lines and see if Glenn Grothman finds you worthy for his crumbs. More devil's advocates. You're always worthy here.
Might have some more.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Happier Happy Hour. We'll certainly talk about perhaps your angst. Maybe it's just Crudy. I don't want to be Chicken Little claiming the sky is falling. I'm just telling you. I still remember 2008. I still see some troubling signs on the horizon. And when every day we find out there's been some secret confab that you and I didn't get invited to, Dom. And they've got it all handled. The crisis has been averted. When someone tells me the crisis has been averted, I get a little nervous. I'm just telling you, I'm not always convinced.
Move along. There's nothing to see here. Move along. Move along.
Here's something else that bothers me, Dom. I'm going to throw it out. That and the phone number. You can always be a part. If something's bothering you, let us know. 844-967-2789. Unless it's us, then we don't want to hear from you. But Nicole Wallace, you know, Nicole Wallace used to be a Republican speechwriter. Now works over on the MSNBC. I like her. Nicole Wallace grills ex-DOJ official on why it's been 800 days since January 6th and there's been no Trump arrests. I also have an inquiring mind, Dom. Officer Harry Dunn was one of the Capitol Police officers that led the January 6th attackers from the doors where lawmakers were hiding. It has been 800 days since then. An MSNBC host, Nicole Wallace, wants to know why the Justice Department hasn't moved against Donald Trump or his close allies. I share her questioning, her curiosity, if you will.
As do I.
Speaking with her was former FBI agent Peter Strzok. You remember her, him, Dom.
Him and the lover.
Lisa Page, wasn't that her name?
Yes, Trump was very fond of ripping on them.
I think hell, we even heard Ron Johnson bring him up once or twice. But anyways, Nicole Wallace speaking with former FBI agent Peter Strzok, who remarked that conservatives love to talk about how they backed the blue. But when it comes to January 6th, they couldn't possibly care less. He recalled that officers that lay in hospital beds after January 6th, noting that there are gruesome photos of stitches and bruises and swollen limbs where they've been sprayed with pepper spray and everything else. He cited recent poll numbers that show that Fox networks have seen a decrease in its viewers believing the 2020 election lie after the Dominion voting lawsuit. That's the kind of thing I don't understand, Strzok said. If you go to 23% of Republicans out there, or whatever the number is, say, hey, lay down all the photographs from the hospital. Is this something you support? Because I don't know how anybody with a straight face can say, yeah, you know, that's all right. Do you think that's, they always deny the sentiment, huh? But they're always down for it, right? Because it flies in the face of logic. And I think what we're seeing here is that people who aren't thinking too deeply about what occurred, who are watching Tucker Carlson and all these peaceful protesters by picking 2 minutes out of hundreds of thousands of hours of coverage and aren't chalking or being presented with the truth of what occurred. Wallace turned to Mary McCord, former acting assistant attorney general for national security, to ask why nothing has been done for upper-level people that helped create January 6th. She, you know, explained the investigation began by looking in the easiest and lowest-level offenders that can be convicted, and they climb the ladder from there, right? That's how it's supposed to work, Dom. A little bit more here, and we'll get back to the callers. 844-967-2789. All indications are that this is what is happening, McCord promised, that the investigation that Jack Smith has taken over, we certainly know from reporting that there have been a number of people very close to the former president who have been subpoenaed in recent weeks and months. It appears that some of those people are not cooperating, Dom. Shocker. It has also been reported that Jack Smith sought the assistance or sought the an appeal to the chief judge in D.C. for her help. So will there be compelled testimony, Dom? Will we see indictments? It's been 800 days. That's over 2 years, dude. We're already turning towards the 2024. The same guy that tried to perpetrate the last coup is running for president again. And yet there have been no charges of the inner circle, the clear conspirators. And it's a big circle, and there's lots of evidence, much of it in the public purview. So, Dom, I ask you, why? Why are we having this conversation at this point? Why are we not celebrating Jack Smith Day or Merrick Garland Day?
I look forward to it.
Indictment Day in any forum.
Right. Fair question. One thing I would say is that this is what, the largest criminal investigation and prosecution in U.S. history. Right, we have over 1,000 individuals right now charged at the Capitol. Hundreds still out on the lam, still looking for them. That's a pretty big deal, and for to get all of them, to find them all, to charge them all, to process them all, to get the testimony, to get the convictions, that takes time. And you want to get that done right. If you're going to build up from the bottom up, you need to get those things done. And so now we are there. And yes, it's unfortunate. It takes time. If this were not the biggest criminal investigation in the history of the DOJ, perhaps, and did not involve the former treasonous traitorous bastard of a president, Donald Trump, perhaps it would have gone a little quicker. But I think we're there. What's some of the other headlines in this regard today? Trump attorney under pressure to testify. Special counsel zeroes in on a specific phone call. They're going after Evan Cochran's testimony sought in connection with a phone call prosecutors allege he had with Trump as investigators were seeking evidence over the possible obstruction to the government's efforts to secure the classified documents from Donald Trump. So this
that's
is what
the Mar-a-Lago stuff.
That's the Mar-a-Lago. That's what they're going to the judge about, trying to get the judge to help force this person's attorney, this attorney's testimony, right? Because you cannot hide behind client privilege. Attorney-client privilege when you're perpetrating a crime. That's one of them. Number two, also out there today, Jack Smith subpoenas dozens of Mar-a-Lago staff about classified documents. Dozens. That's the what, 24 or more? Multiple dozens. So, and these are going to be what, staff at Mar-a-Lago. They're not going to be hiding anything, man. They know what's going on. You get called in from Jack Smith and you're just every regular day worker at Mar-a-Lago, you are telling them the truth. So, again, granted, those are on the paperwork crimes, as you
yes.
As you are
I'm sitting here glowering at you right now because these are the paperwork crimes.
Yes, those are the paperwork
relative crimes. To the insurrectionist coup of January 6th, man, I care less about that than I do about the January 6th. I'm just telling you. 844-967. I think the audience is well aware where Crudy stands on this. It's not that I don't want to see Trump indicted and criminally charged. And I understand the difficulty of the prosecution and why you got to get all your ducks in a row and cross all your T's and dot your I's and put little hearts over them if that's what's necessary. But you got to move with enough alacrity not to lose the faith of the American people in the criminal justice system, that no man is above the law. And that's what we're seeing here in this nation, Dom, that he is above the law. He is contemptuous of the law in every fashion. And I get it. The little law is the big laws. But I'm talking about the biggest law, the Constitution law. That's the one that I take a little issue. And I want to see Jack Smith, 800 days later, move his ass a little quicker. Be special counselor. Like, superpower special. Move. 844-967-2789. Robert from West Allis. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hi, Robert.
Hi, guys. I agree with the sentiments on January 6th. I wanted to talk about banking real quick. I have a few points I'll try to go through quick. One is, why are we trusting these people anymore? You know, they've made the wrong decisions time after time after time. You know, the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, was increasing rates in the 70s when he should have been lowering them. We saw 07, 08, where they came out and said, okay, you guys just have to bail us out now. And then, so in 07, 08, 15, 20% drop in housing, their financial models couldn't predict it. 2018, we had not only did the Republicans loosen restrictions on banks, we had 33 Democrats go along for the ride, you know, and Elizabeth Warren called it out. She said, you know, Jerome Powell should not be renewed. Do not put him in that slot. So, you know, I guess my question is, when do we listen to the progressives? You know,
Robert, just trying to say progressive, and I think one of the multi-conglomerate corporations cut you off there. Anyways, when do we listen to the progressives? Never. I mean, Bernie Sanders is part of the banking, heads up the budget committee. You know they're not bringing Bernie in with those Janet Yellen meetings. You know Elizabeth Warren is not there. No one is speaking on behalf of the consumer, soon to be screwed, Robert. They're worried about the banks. Right. The banks are worried about the banks, and the Fed's worried about the banks. But nobody gives a damn about the American consumer, because the marching higher of interest rates for a year straight, well, it only punishes the consumer. Rich people don't borrow money. They lend money. And apparently, if the banks lend money, they're not doing so profitably enough to carry their own depositors. So they're doing it wrong.
Right, right. Well, the other thing is the Fed has two mandates. One is inflation, but the other one is full employment. And as far as I'm concerned, they haven't been doing that job for years. So, you know, they're happy with throwing working people out of their job, having your student loans, your car payment, your mortgage go up. But they really aren't working for Main Street. And then when you add in the revolving door of corruption with people like Paulson and these other guys, going back and forth from Goldman Sachs to the Treasury Department or the Federal Reserve, I think it's time to reform the Fed. I really, you know, you don't want to go out there too far like Ron Paul or Rand Paul, but I think the Federal Reserve needs an audit, and we need some restrictions from Congress on this institution. If you remember, it was created around the same time when we started to directly elect senators. So they gave us the power to vote for senators, but then they took the power away for anything in terms of money at that time.
Well, the monetary policy. Well, I got to tell you, and thanks for the call, Robert. Good points. You know, if your whole point is concerned the economy is too hot and you want to calm things down, you let a couple of banks fail. That might have an impact on the economy. You know what I'm saying? Without hurting necessarily, I don't know, all of us who don't have more than $250,000 sitting in one bank. Just saying.
I'd be okay under that scenario. 844-967-2789. Peggy, calling in from Jordan, Minnesota. Welcome, Peggy. What do you got for us?
Hi, Peggy.
Hey. Hi. Okay, I own a bar in Minneapolis, and I'm calling about price gouging. We rent our dish machine and our ice machine and all the soda guns and that kind of thing. And it's equipment that we've been renting from the same company for more than 15 years. And then just all of a sudden, they double the rental on, it's the same equipment. It's been just sitting there. Nothing's changed. And they're doubling the rental. And I have reached out to them several times nicely and then sort of more menacingly, because I think there has been potential legislation in Minnesota, and I think nationwide too, about the price gouging. And I got nowhere with them at all. And I tried my state representative, who is a Republican, and I don't know why he would think that was fine, but he just was not concerned about it in a way that he felt he could.
Well, you're not a big. Peggy, you're not a big bank on the brink of failure. Then he would care.
Right. But I just, I mean, this really is price gouging. And they sort of have me in a bad spot because they supply our soda, and there aren't any other kind of, they don't have any competition in this, in this area of the equipment rental. So I don't know what to do. I mean, it's wrong. I hate paying this every month. But I don't know what to do.
Nor I, Peggy. I don't know what to do about the price gouging. I think we need another populist uprising, a progressive uprising. Let's not call it a democratic uprising, not call it socialism. We the people need to rise up in this nation and band together. Starts with perhaps unionism. Starts with perhaps not bailing out every bank that makes a bad bet with our money and then doesn't want to pay us back. Man, what a country. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Destiny. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, toll free on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dom, the truth will set you free, at least in small percentages of Fox News viewership. A couple of important numbers, and then the phones will get to you, callers. Be patient. More than a fifth of Fox News Channel viewers are less trusting of the cable network in the wake of publicly disclosed text messages and emails from Fox executives and on-air personalities, according to a new survey.
Only a fifth?
One in five, Tom. And about 9% of Fox News viewers say they aren't watching the network as much as they used to. 9% said they're watching a little less, Tom. A representative for Fox News told VIP Variety magazine, there's been no impact to advertising, with no advertisers dropping or pausing, and confirmed that viewership levels have not been impacted. So a modest ripple down, but here's one small encouraging part. 13% of Fox News viewers no longer believe the 2020 presidential election was stolen after reading communications in which the network stars Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity were making allegations on TV regarding voter fraud that was inconsistent with what they were saying privately. Is that what it is, Dom? Little inconsistencies.
You could call it that.
Here's the great part about us. And I speak for you in this regard, Dom. We really don't have two faces. What you see is what you get.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Right?
The public face and the private face, they're identical, and they're sexy as hell. 844-967-2789. But you know that, don't you, Annie from Watertown?
Hey, Annie.
I had an interesting incident where I was by the water, by the jugs of water where they fill it. And I mentioned to somebody that was standing there, I said, well, it doesn't make any sense. At Piggly Wiggly, it went from $1.89 to $2.50 to fill the five-gallon jug, like 35% increase. I said, you know, what is, I mean, it's not like supply, right? I mean, they've got the spigot that comes through, the machine is there doing blah, blah, blah. Well, much to my chagrin, it was a guy that was servicing the machine. And he said, well, we've had to raise it because we have such trouble getting parts. You know, and I don't know. I don't fall for it. I mean, like,
those water spigots, you know, hard to get those. Supply chain issues. Annie, you're going to have to pay extra for your water.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like everybody's got an excuse.
They don't all seem valid, do they, Annie? Almost like they're making up a rationale to charge you more for something that really probably isn't any more expensive on the supply side. What do they call that? Gouging?
That,
That's what I say. I mean, I think that was just my biggest example of, you know, why the hell has that gone up?
Annie, I think you might have good instincts in this case. You might surge, be good gouge sister.
It's all about surge pricing now. Listen, I mean, yeah, there have been supply issues, right? And it's not just, like, you know, the product. It's the pump. It's everything else. If you can't get things or things are delayed, that ultimately costs more. And wages have gone up. You know, everything's going up. But that being said, you know, that is the rule of capitalism. If you find an opportunity to generate additional revenue, you take it. I mean, look at the oil companies, man. They had record profits this year. I mean, made more money than in the history of oil companies this last year, 2022.
No, it was supply side. Also, you know, we had those bottlenecks, and thank God the American consumer got bent over so we could be highly profitable. America. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison. How you doing, Dick?
Hello, Dick.
Real good, guys. Robert kicks us out of the ballpark like he always did. He always does. I mean, he's talking about Powell. I mean, Powell and DeJoy in the mail department, I think he's still there.
Yeah.
They should have got rid of both of them, or Biden, and that's his mistake. You know, and then the other thing is, I'm not ready to go all Granny Clampett with and go down to the bank with my shotgun, you know, and demand my money. But it is a little concerning, obviously.
Well, don't take the shotgun, but you might want to take some cash and jam it up under the mattress.
But, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of crazy, though. Robert brought up the ultimate thing to me. It's Powell. He should have been let go a long time ago. He was a Trump person, and I think he's ultimately behind this thing.
Dick, you might be right, but I'm not smart enough to know. 844-967-2789. I'll tell you this. I'm not taking any more stock buying advice from Jim Cramer. Jeff from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, gentlemen. Welcome back, Herdy. I think I got a solution for the banking crisis.
Oh, what's that, fella?
I think it's going to have broad approach for both sides. You know, even those South Carolina Republicans, is if a bank goes into failure, anybody who's received more than $250,000 in bonuses from those banks gets the death penalty.
Damn.
I mean,
could there just be a financial clawback? We got to kill a dude? I mean,
may we burn her?
I mean, you know, that would definitely put some incentives out there. You know, the last 5 years, if you worked at that bank and you got a bonus over $250,000 and the bank goes under, you were part of the problem. You're a criminal. And we all know how regressives love to put the death penalty towards anything that they don't like. How about, you know, stealing people's futures and crashing companies, stifling innovation because banks aren't available for lending?
Jeff, how about a compromise? I'm going to offer you a compromise. How about a corporate death penalty? Know what I mean? Like, the bank must die. We're killing the bank. Because they keep propping them up. They're like Frankenbank.
they do that already, but the people don't. They go off and they get a job somewhere else, and they do the same thing elsewhere. So no, the people got to go.
Maybe it's someone's HR department not properly vetting down there. Thank God we don't vet around here either.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. But, you know, I mean, management makes a decision. If I'm just working there and someone puts an extra money and it gives me an extra check, it's not my fault. It's not my decision. I think the decision makers should be the ones that face the consequences.
You sound like Weisselman right about now. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. We'll do it again for you on Friday, our favorite day of the week. Now stick around. Joel Clayfish, raised in the Wisco at 7, Native Roots Radio in between. Keep it locked, Civic Media.
I declare bankruptcy!
Find the witch, may we burn our fire!